John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
24 past 11, that talk number 1-300-872-911. We've got Roscoe on the line down in Townsville. Hello, Roscoe.
G'day, John. Happy New Year, mate.
Happy New Year to you. What are you saying today, Roscoe?
Well, as I said to you last year now about that cohort of at-risk offenders, I've had 15, and I put them through a certain language literacy numeracy test, and they failed it dismally.
Mm-hmm.
So I've now got to go back to foundation skills to try and get them to complete a cert one.
Mm.
Now, how is this happening? How are they falling through the cracks? This is just it's an abomination.
Mm.
You know, this is just basics. Like, for instance, 27 minus 10. Fill in the words provided, stuff like that.
Mm.
And these are people that have got a year, 10 year, 11 education.
Give us some examples of what's really shocked you here.
Well, it's not them. Ironically, John, it's not them, because they just got a hunger and a thirst to learn, and they keep telling me day in, day out that they want to turn their life around. They're sick of the offending. They're sick of the lifestyle. They're sick of being hassled by police. Mm. They want to turn their life around. Mm. And they kind of look up to me in some respects to do that. And yet the system has let them down. I said, well, did you attend school? Yeah. Did you ask questions? Yeah. Did you get the required help? No.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, how am I supposed to help them, John?
Exactly.
I'm belting my head against the brick wall, mate.
Give us an example of exactly what constitutes the failure here, because a lot of people out there really don't understand the nature of the mentality of some of these people that you're dealing with. What constitutes the failure? What are the examples of the failure?
The basics of 27 minus 10.
Okay,
the basics of fitting words into a sentence.
Mm.
It's just the basics, the very basics of the language, literacy and numeracy.
Mm.
You know, the fundamentals, if you want to put it that way.
How's it failing, Roscoe? Have you got any hint on what on earth has gone wrong? These are kids that actually go to school. These days we've got a 15 to 17% truancy rate among some of these Indigenous kids. I mean, lots of these Indigenous kids. That's the general rate at primary school now. 15% don't even attend school. So
that's correct.
So tell me, even if they go to school, you're saying it's still not delivering the goods. They're not getting enough skills to get employment to get them out of crime.
That's correct. That's correct, John. They're not. They're not getting the basic or the foundation skills. They're not getting the foundation skills to be able to go to the bank, open a bank account, or to be able to deal with Medicare.
God.
To be able to write their name properly. To be able to sign their name. There's one particular gentleman, he's 21. His name he signs is B10.
My God. My God.
So, you know, this is the government, this is Palaszczuk and all the rest of them. How are we supposed to fix the problem? I've taken the problem with both hands.
Yeah.
And I've got this cohort and I'm trying to work with them.
Mm.
How am I supposed to turn their life around when they haven't been given a fair go in life in the first place?
Exactly. Do you ever at night lie in bed thinking, we've obviously missed a point here? There's something that we didn't realise was so far down the track that it might not be able to be reversed. But in that case, what happens? That just leaves them available with the only option of breaking into homes for some activity, stealing everybody's cars when they get an opportunity, knowing full well there's no punishment that seemed to be accruing in their direction. So it makes car theft or housebreaking almost irresistible to these young people.
Well, what else have they got to do?
Exactly.
They can't go out and get a job. They can't go out and get a job with the skills or the capabilities they've got.
Exactly.
So therefore, we've got to rehash the whole thing, and we've got to go through foundation skills. We've got to go back to the basics to catch that on the mat. We've got to go right back to basics that's taught in primary school.
Roscoe, I've got a bloke called Leon rings up from time to time. He's actually been on the coal face in this. He's actually gone out to the parents and said, why aren't your kids at school and seen what's going on in some of these homes? Legless at 9 o'clock in the morning all the empty bottles around the floor. Mm-hmm. Young kids of 7 and 8 years of age coming out with a child on each shift because they're having to provide some food for them for breakfast. It's a nightmare. But where do we start with this? Because there's so much involved in taking action that it's going to come under fire from the politically correct brigade. They're looking at every opportunity to accuse people of racism if there's intervention, yet no intervention to me absolutely smells of racism. The fact that they're not giving these kids a chance by introducing some sort of truancy restrictions whereby they'll have to get some education, have to go to school, even if it's a special school, from the very young years of 5, 6 and 7. What's happening is, even if they get across this crisis, these kids are then 10, 11 and 12 already stealing cars. So we've really got to start from scratch, Roscoe, and we've really got to bite the bullet. It's going to attract a lot of angry people who are the politically correct brigade, but don't come up with any options themselves. They're prepared to let these kids go through life without any opportunity to get ahead and likely spending a significant proportion of their lives behind bars in Lotus Glen or whatever.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing. I've learned some insights about custodial sentencing, just listening to them talk. And another thing too, I provide them with food for lunch. Like, we have lunch together.
Mm.
And we sit and chat. And I'll tell you what, I don't mean to be mean, but I seriously think it's the only food they get during the day.
You think what, sorry?
I think it's the only meal they have.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, and people are very quick to judge. I've been called a lot of names in the last 3 weeks. You know, I won't mention, but, you know, it's just, I'm trying to provide a solution to the problem with this cohort. And the conversations over lunch, the time spent at the juvenile detention centre, that's a waste of time.
Tell us more.
Because they sit me in front of an Xbox after breakfast and, you're not really forced to do much. And you learn off other people. You learn off the hardcore that are present.
Oh, no. So fundamentally, they up their skills in breaking into homes and breaking into cars.
Yeah, and yet, there's a kind of a pecking order in there as well.
Mm.
You've got to bow down to certain people. If you don't bow down to them, you get bashed.
Oh, God. This
is why they're so frightened to go. This is why they want to turn their life around, because they don't want to go back in there. They want to learn. They want to get a qualification and they want to get a job.
Mm.
And how am I supposed to do this when my hands are tied?
Yeah.
And how, you know, it's just mind-boggling. You know, you lay awake at night thinking,
yes,
what have I done wrong?
Mm.
I've done nothing wrong. I'm doing right. I'm trying to bridge the gaps with racism. I stand up in front of the class every morning and I say, are we okay today?
Mm.
Are there any issues? I've got Headspace involved. I've got other people involved. And it's just mind-boggling, some of the things that come out of it.
Can I just ask let me ask you this question. You just talk about, untying your hands. What would be an example, for example, of untying your hands and doing what you believe will deliver better results?
Well, I'll go on record, I'm white, right? I'm not of First Nations descent. But we've got to pay more attention to our First Nations. We've got to deliver more effective education for them.
Yes.
And we've got to bridge the gap. We've got to bridge the gap.
Mm.
Because there's no way... I mean, I've seen it firsthand. Last year, I spent 3 weeks on Mornington Island.
Yes.
Now, that 150 people riding in the streets and lawless island and stuff like that. I've seen people sniffing paint. One example is they make a moonshine and they go around to the Kierbill sites that have got the 20-litre paint drums that have been painting houses,
and they
grab it and they put 4 kilos of sugar, water, cordial and turbo yeast. And the drum is not being washed out. And they put the lid on, 4 days later they start to drink it.
Gee, this is horrendous.
You know, I saw the lawlessness up there. I was assaulted up there. There were various different things while I was in the execution of my job trying to train Indigenous operators on how to operate plant equipment.
Mm.
So how about we bridge the gap? How about we say at-risk offenders, not First Nation offenders?
Yes.
Because some of these people in this cohort are white. You know, and I stand up every day with so much conviction and say...
Yes.
...that we stand together united as one. We are not divided.
Thank God for that.
You know, I'm trying. I'm trying. And I tell you what, there's been a lot of sleepless nights, mate, trying to come up with a solution to the problem.
Yeah. But
the government, the system, the education department...
Mm.
They all need to be held accountable. For these people, they turn out... Like, I've got a son that's got intellectual impairments.
Yeah.
And he starts year 12 this year.
Mm.
And I feel for him, like, what job is he going to get?
Mm.
What gainful employment is he going to get? Mm. What courses can he do? And some of these people in my cohort have got intellectual impairment. They've got fetal alcohol syndrome.
Mm.
They've got a myriad of mental health disorders and issues. So, you know, I'm trying to provide a solution to the problem.
Yes.
And I'm just opening up more problems after more problems. Mm. And the biggest problem is the cohort are basically illiterate.
Mm.
I'm sorry to say, but it's going to take a lot of damn hard work to get through.
Do you know, this information, Roscoe, is solid gold to people listening who genuinely care, and there's a hell of a lot of people who genuinely care for two reasons. There's the support that a lot of people feel that they owe to these people, giving them the chance. There's also people out there that see themselves as an ocean of victims or potential victims because of this crime wave. Whatever the reason, they want to find out about a better future. Doesn't matter as long as they're listening to people like you and another gentleman called Leon who rings in too, once again from the coalface. Well, they're listening to them and saying, is this giving us hope? Yes, it is. But my God, acknowledging that we've got such a steep climb ahead of us. But the government has to be with us. The government has to listen to people like you and Leon and say, we've got to bite the bullet. We can't look down the road 10 years, 20 years, 30 years and say, it's still the same or even vastly worse. So they're the people we have to get on side, Roscoe, and people like Leon. I'm so pleased you ring in and give us the information that we really need because it paints a stark picture, but we've got to acknowledge we've got a hell of a battle ahead of us, but not walk away from it. I really appreciate what you do contributing to this program, Roscoe, so stay in touch.
Yeah,
I've got to move on. I'm down on time, but it's been really worthwhile. Thank you. That's Roscoe. calling in from Townsville, give us a picture of just how steep this this challenge is in front of us if we're going to lead us into a better life than what we're putting up with now. But more importantly, leading these kids into better opportunities. It'll be a hell of a battle.